You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Shop the biggest selection of apparel and merchandise at the Cleveland Browns Team Shop. Visit the Team Shop in downtown Cleveland at First Energy Stadium. It's open 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Wednesday through Sunday, or shop online on the Browns mobile app or at shop.clevelandbrowns.com. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We are very pleased to welcome with us right now Mike Jones from the Washington Post. Covers the Redskins there. Mike, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Mike, want to talk with you about Kyle Shanahan. A lot of reports that he is in line to become, and very soon will become, the new offensive coordinator of the Browns. Give me a sense of what Shanahan will bring to this football team.
Yeah, he's going to bring a bright offensive mind, a guy who has a lot of ideas and a lot of ways to get receivers open despite limited talent. The Redskins, outside of Pierre Garçon, really haven't had much to work with the last 4 years, but guys always seem to be getting open just with the route trees and the concepts that he has. His offenses, even when Rex Grossman was in there at quarterback, move the ball. They've had some issues in the red zone and things like that, but he knows how to get a lot out of an offense and set those guys up for success.
Mike, Nathan Zagura here. When you look at the Browns and they have that dominant number one receiver in Josh Gordon, and we've seen success with Garçon last year and back in his tenure in Houston, obviously, with Andre Johnson. He also knows how to use a tight end. They've got Jordan right. Cameron here. Does it seem like, knowing they're going to add pieces to that puzzle, but at least the kind of the core things he likes to use are here in Cleveland from a receiver standpoint?
Yeah, as far as the pass-catching standpoint, I think that it is. I think this is a good situation for him. He can go in there and kind of, repair his image, work his way back, into the discussion of being one of those, bright offensive coordinators. He kind of took some grief from being, his father's, been here with his dad in D.C. and then things not working out with their relationship with Griffin either. Some of that unfairly on Kyle's part, but this is a situation that it seems like it would benefit him. And I know he's got to get that quarterback situation resolved. But you have to like his chances just because you've seen what he's done elsewhere and know that some of the talent that he's got there. We were talking about the wide receiver, and you're definitely right about the tight ends. Whether it was Logan Paulson, Jordan Reed, Fred Davis, Niles Paul, he knows how to use those guys in a variety of ways, whether to line up as a tight end, moving in the backfield like a fullback, or split out as a wide receiver. He's very creative with those guys. And one of his favorite pass routes features the tight end.
Yeah, he did a great job with Jordan Reed, even back with Chris Cooley, Fred Davis, as you mentioned. Some people say that he can only run one system, and I know you got to see him firsthand run an offense that featured Donovan McNabb, Beck, and Rex Grossman, and then see it with RG3. So would you say that is an erroneous statement that he can only run one kind of offense?
Yeah, it definitely is, because, he's run the offense that, we saw him run in Houston, which was basically a little bit of a tweaked version of what his father ran in Denver all those years. And the questions were, was he going to be able to adapt this playbook? Would he be willing to adapt it to RG3's strengths? You saw that he was able to do that. They went and reinvented the wheel. They had a lot of the same concepts, but the way they packaged it and presented it was different. And you saw, as a rookie, Griffin had the most successful campaign for a rookie quarterback ever, and that offense was ranked among the league leaders. Even this past year, despite the struggles in the passing game, they still had an effective offense. They were able to move the ball on the ground through the air. So I think that is probably an unfair knock on Shanahan.
Mike Jones from the Washington Post joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, as we talk about Kyle Shanahan. And Mike, where did it go wrong? Where did it go sideways with his relationship with RG3 in particular, but also the friction and static with Donovan McNabb even before that? Break those down for us.
Well, with McNabb, I think you had a situation where you had a guy who was coming in who had been in the league a long time, didn't totally take kindly to the thought that his offensive coordinator and the guy who was going to be telling him what to do was younger than him. He wanted basically to come in here and have the Redskins run what he liked them to run in Philadelphia. And they were like, well, no, that's not our offense. We're going to put you in the position to do what we think is best. And so that's where a lot of that friction was with McNabb. But he still was on pace to throw, you know, he was having a good statistical year despite the frictions that they had. They really had a lot of big plays downfield, explosiveness with that. And with Rex Grossman, he also was able to put up some numbers in this offense. With Griffin, I think the biggest problem was the fact that Mike Shanahan isn't a guy who will always shoot straight. He'll say one thing and, you know, we've seen, you know, him do another thing. And being that the father-son relationship, Griffin didn't feel like he could totally trust Kyle, because if you're going to go to a guy and say, man, I've got problems with your dad, you know, you're obviously going to think it's going to get back to the dad. So Griffin never felt like he had somebody he can trust, completely because of that. And I think none of the sides really sat down to try to hash it out. All three very proud men, strong personalities. If somebody, and I think Mike should have sat the three down and be like, look, let's hash this out and get this working. And I think that would have made things better, but Mike Shanahan didn't do that.
Talk a little bit about Kyle Shanahan and the ground game. We know the last 2 years, top five in the NFL, really got the most out of Alfred Morris, who was not a heralded player coming in the draft. And some of those rushing numbers obviously inflated by RG3. But talk a little bit about what he can bring to the table for a team that is likely going to be bringing in a rookie running back or a new running back to be the primary ball carrier. Talk a little bit about his philosophies when it comes to the ground game and the success you've seen him have in Washington.
Yeah, he had success in Washington and in Houston as well with the zone blocking scheme. When they put Alfred Morris in there, they really had found the guy. Nobody expected it, but he was a hard-nosed runner, a one-cut back. But at the same time, Kyle would prefer to throw the ball. Mm-hmm. You know, he likes to use the run to set up things with the play-action attack, but he definitely likes throwing the ball. I think if there's a fault, there are times when he would abandon the run too quickly. Alfred Morris might have 75 yards coming into the third quarter, and then Kyle would go away with it. Sometimes it seems like he's got all these shiny toys and, you know, so many plays in his playbook that he felt like he had to use them all and would get away from what was working, and sometimes that would put them in a hole. Now, if he gets all the personnel in there that he wants and they don't have some of the limitations that he had here in Washington, will he have more success? Possibly, but it did show he can, you know, succeed on the ground and through the air. Probably just needs to continue to work to become more balanced.
Robert Griffin III came into the league with gigantic cachet as a second overall pick. Big ego, big personality, just like a lot of quarterbacks. And you just talked about that relationship with Kyle Shanahan and the inability really to make it work with him. How do you now see this possibility of Shanahan working with another big personality in the form of Johnny Manziel, if in fact he becomes the guy that the Browns draft to be their franchise quarterback?
Well, Kyle is going to make it clear that he is the boss, and he has got the idea of how he wants stuff run and what he expects. And I think that he probably, though, may, through this situation of how things deteriorated, everybody learns a lesson. There weren't just players, but, you know, some coaches who were also assistant coaches who kind of clashed with him at times because he was such a confident guy and, intent on doing things his way. I think that probably he'll learn, you know, how to improve his people management skills and things like that, and understand, yes, you have a message you want to get across, but there's a right way and a wrong way. He can deal with big egos. If they have success, as you saw that first year, there was no issues between he and Griffin that first year. Then, you know, when things got a little hairy, when there were questions about Griffin's safety and how much they were going to protect him, and you had Mike saying, well, he needs to learn how to protect himself more, rather than Griffin wanted to hear that they were going to change things. But Kyle opened up the season, and they basically scrapped a lot of that stuff, and it wasn't working, and then they all agreed to go back to a lot of the zone read. So he's strong-headed, but not overly. He's got some flexibility to him as well, if that makes sense. And so I think that he would welcome the opportunity to work with a high-profile young quarterback again.
When you look at him being with his father in Washington, now the opportunity to kind of get out of that shadow, do you think that is a good thing for Kyle Shanahan and his development?
I definitely think it is, because I think that he probably wouldn't have received some of the criticism and scrutiny that he did receive if it had not been for his father. Even people inside the building felt like Kyle was sort of given free rein to run things, and, you know, Mike just you know, gave him his way with everything, you know, with picking up free agents and draft and thing like that. I think it'll be good for Kyle to show that he is a bright mind, and a lot of his success comes from his ideas and his creativity and hard work, and not just because he is, you know, the son of Mike Shanahan. And he was able to do that. In Houston, there was talk, you know, before he came to Washington, that in a couple of years he might be one of the hot young, you know, head coaching candidates. Things, you know, kind of took a change now, but this is a situation for him to kind of prove once again that he can have success on his own and that he is that guy.
With him coming here, or expected to be coming here officially shortly, a lot of talk already about Kirk Cousins perhaps following him to the Cleveland Browns. What is your assessment of Kirk Cousins and what you've seen? Obviously, he had the great game against the Browns 2 years ago. This year didn't look quite as good in his limited action. Is he a franchise quarterback or somebody that a team can build around?
I don't know. I think that if you have everything set, he can be one of those guys. If you've got a great defense and a lot of talent around him on offense, he can go in there and be a game manager. I don't think that he can put a team on his shoulders, a team that's got nothing, and turn into something to really elevate everybody's game. We saw that Kirk is a hard worker, prepares as well as anyone, has a great attitude, great leadership qualities, but he's got a tendency to turn the football over. He threw four touchdowns and seven interceptions and fumbled two more times. So that's something that even in college, that's why teams were concerned about him. He threw 30 interceptions in college over the course of his career, and he dropped down to the fourth round. I don't know that he has really changed who he is, been able to change who he is, and would make a team want to give up a second or, you know, a third-round pick for him at this point right now. And I don't know how much say Kyle is going to have in, you know, personnel in this situation like he did in Washington. He could say, hey, I want this guy, and they would go get it. With Cleveland, is he going to be able to say, hey, let's give up a second-round pick for Kirk? You know, I don't know that he would, and I don't know if it would actually be smart to give up that much for a guy who is still very unproven and does have some problems with turning over the ball.
Mike, the last one for me, it was a different dynamic working for your dad. That's a whole separate thing. And then to be in Houston with Gary Kubiak, another guy who was sort of like family, because they had worked, he had gotten to know him, of course, through Denver, where he worked with his father and played for there in with the Broncos. But now you've got Mike Pettine. You've got a defensive coordinator. You've got a guy who knows something about big personality as well as a head coach, and is certainly looking to establish himself. How do you see the dynamic between Pettine and Shanahan?
No, I don't know Pettine, but I do think that Kyle is probably going to embrace this opportunity, like we were saying before, to prove that he can succeed on his own outside of Uncle Gary and, you know, his dad. And I think that also he wants to prove that, you know, he's got a little stink on him. There are people, you know, some unfavorable reports came out about him, you know, as a person and personality late in the season, whether true or not. You know, I think he wants to be able to go in there and prove that he can work with somebody and, you know, be a good teammate on the coaching staff and complement, you know, the defensive coordinator style head coach and serve him well.
All right, Mike, thank you so much.
Great stuff, yes.
It was tremendous, and we'll talk with you down the line, my friend.
All right, thanks, y'all. Have a good one.
All right, Mike Jones from the Washington Post joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura. We want to hear from you, 216-578-0850. Tweet us at Browns_daily. It's a football Monday. Still breaking down Super Bowl 48, what is left of that carcass, as we go through the day here on ESPN 850 WKNR. Rolling on 35s, pretty girl by my side.